Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable association to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dhanyavad. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैतचन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैतचन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द सोम Today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, Text Number 162. Nahi karhi sin matpara shanta rupe nangshayanti no me nimisho ledihe tihe एषा महं प्रियात्मसुताश्च शका गुरु सुहृदो दैवमिष्टम् ट्रांसलेशन माय डियर मदर देवहूति ओ एम्ब्लम ऑफ पीस माय वेपन द डिस्क ऑफ टाइम नेवर वैंक्विशेस दोज फॉर हूम आई एम वेरी डियर For whom I am the super soul, son, friend, spiritual master, well-wisher, worshipable deity, and desired goal. Since the devotees are always attached to me, they are never vanquished by the agents of time. Purport. This was spoken by Kapila Deva. To his mother Devahuti and is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.38. Kapila Deva instructed his mother in Shankha Yoga, but the importance of Bhakti Yoga is mentioned herein. Later, Shankha Yoga was imitated by atheists whose system was founded by a different Kapila Deva, Rishi Kapila Deva. So we will discuss this particular verse today. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन् मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे न कर्हि चिन्मत्परशान्तरूपे नङ्क्षयन्ति नो मे निमिषो लेदिहेति एषामहं प्रियात्मसुतश्च शका गुरुसुहृदो दैवमिष्टम् My dear mother, Devahuti, O emblem of peace, my weapon, the disc of time, never vanquishes those for whom I am very dear, for whom I am the super soul, son, friend, spiritual master, well-wisher, worshipable deity, and desired goal. Since the devotees are always attached to me, they are never vanquished by the agents of time. So this chapter, the process of devotional service, explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. Mahaprabhu had been revealing some confidential subject matter as well as detailed description about the process of devotional service. As a part of discussing about these different aspects of devotional service, Mahaprabhu explained about devotee, devotion, service, maya, non-devotee, bad association, angas of devotional service, so many things. So technically speaking, this particular chapter had thrown light into the entire scheme of philosophical aspects of Krishna consciousness. We are coming to the fag end of this particular chapter, where Mahaprabhu is wrapping up his discussion on this process of devotional service. He started explaining about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And as he was explaining about Raganuga, Ragatmika devotional service, he is also explaining about the characteristics of them. And in that same line, he is explaining now that devotees who are captivated, who have surrendered themselves to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, are very, very dear to him. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to that particular verse in Srimad Bhagavatam how time can't control a devotee, weapon can not harm a devotee, and how at all circumstances a devotee is very well protected. In explaining about the six principles of Saranagati, one of the principles that is explained is Rakshish Yadi Viswaso. Rakshish Yadi means protection. Viswaso, a strong conviction. A practitioner devotee or a person who is in the stage of Raganuga, Ragatmika, deep attachment towards the Supreme Lord, He is so much so convinced that Krishna will or Krishna is protecting him at all point in time. And how do we know a person is situated in ragatmika? Or how do we know that a person is situated in the deeper aspects of Krishna consciousness? There are various symptoms that highlights about a person in advanced stage of devotional service. One of the obvious ones is about the component of fear. We have discussed this in the past in one of the earlier sessions. How a devotee who is surrendered to Krishna, he handles fear in such a way that he knows what to fear for and what not to fear for. It is not that a devotee is absolutely fearless. No, he is definitely afraid of something. At the same time, he is fearless of certain things. Here, Kapila Dev is explaining to Devahuti that those for whom Krishna is a companion, son, friend, guru, etc., they need not fear for time, they need not fear for death, they need not fear for any of the materialistic components which otherwise are vanquished by the agents of time. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na sochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labate param. Na sochati na kankshati. Because of his state of surrender, there is no hankering and no lamentation. So as a part of today's discussion, we are going to have three sets of reflections. And through those reflections, we will establish the purport of this shloka in more detailed sense. The first reflection is about the fearlessness component. Whilst Mahaprabhu was explaining to Sanatana Goswami about how a person in ragatmika, raganuga bhakti, he is constantly hearing, chanting, constantly remembering, internalizing and he went on to say that even him not necessarily to travel to a dham, he carries dham in his heart. He's giving various classifications. And such a devotee, how does he handle his fear? What does he fear for? What does he not fear for? There are certain things he is afraid of, there are certain things such devotees are never afraid of. Na sochati na kankshati refers to a devotee is not having any lamentation. A devotee here refers to the classified devotee according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's previous verse's description. So those surrendered, self-realized soul who is carrying Krishna in their heart will not fear for loss of materialistic things. So hence, na sochati na kankshati. So hence our first reflection is about understanding the Siddhartha of fear. It is extremely important for devotees to fear for something, and it is also equally important that a person need not fear. And the basis of this is only the prayer from, or the six principles of Sharanagati. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati viswaso goptritve varanam tata atma nikshepya karo ino karpanye satvida sharanagati. So the point of rakshishyati viswaso, the conviction, strong conviction that Krishna will protect, makes him so much fearless for name, fame, prestige, image, position, followers. That is why we say Krishna Dhas. In Hindi, we call them as Bindhas. Maya Dhas, Udhas. Which means Krishna Dhas, somebody who is a devotee of Krishna, surrendered to Krishna, is carefree for his identity. There is no identity crisis for that person. Today, the materialistic world, one of the biggest challenge is people have this identity crisis. They want to always profile themselves. They want to always portray themselves. They want to always to be perceived whilst they are not. Education institution, social circles, professional circles, everybody understand that we need not put up who we actually are so long as we can show off certain things properly. So hence, a devotee who is surrendered, as explained by Kapiladeva, does not fear for being defamed. I just want to recollect here the prayer of Madhavendra Puri's prayer that once we discussed and elaborate, the six different types of people he kept on rejecting. He said that I don't fear people calling me immoral or I'm overstepping morality. I don't fear people claiming that I am not being Vedic. I don't mind my friends and family rejecting me that I am sentimental. I don't mind people calling me foolish because I'm foregoing, materialistic wealth. So like that, a devotee who is surrendered, understood the supremacy of the Lord and situated in that consciousness does not fear for his fame. Number second thing that he does not fear for is about the demands on the society for or about his behavior. The social conduct. As I always say, that in Krishna consciousness, we give more importance to what we eat rather than how we eat. In the materialistic circle, they give importance to how we eat, how are we dressed, how do we conduct ourselves in externally. They don't mind who we are internally. I'm not discounting the importance of table mannerism and, being properly conducting ourselves. But just focusing on that and not giving importance to what we do, this is actually a superficial behavior. So the second aspect a devotee is not fearing about when he surrenders, he does not succumb to the demands of the society, that the society expects certain types of behavior from us. just to profile ourselves. A devotee doesn't succumb because he understands he is situated in a completely different plane, which is anti-material. Third, he is not fearing about being an odd man out. And last but not least, he does not fear for glorifying and serving the Lord, especially serving them without any fanatic understanding. So basically, a devotee or a self-realized soul is fearless from a social identity perspective. So the identity crisis, especially we practicing devotee have this split personality disorder or multiple personality disorder. What is that multiple personality disorder? When we are with our friends, when we are in the social circle, when we are in our relative circle, we are a completely different person. But when we are amongst devotees, we are a completely different person. And sometimes we are so confused which one is real, which one is what we are, which one is what we want to be. And where are we pulled? By nature's force. And how do we handle them? Hence, the fearlessness is a symptom of surrender. So, if practicing Krishna consciousness after a point in time, a devotee fears for challenge, a devotee fears for his name, fame, identity, followers, etc., then he's still a Kanishta, he's still a student. So for all of us, students of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we need to grow up, we need to behave in a manner, we need to tune our consciousness in such a way that we become fearless to these set of things. At the same time, we need to fear for certain things. What do we need to fear for? We need to fear for Vaishnava Aparad. We need to fear for evil effects of Maya. We need to fear for associating of worldly minded people. We need to fear for demoniac qualities. And this fear actually means staying away. That is why Rupa Goswami, when he explained in Nectar of Instruction, he says six favorable qualities and six not favorable qualities. The not favorable qualities are identified so that we stay away from them. So a devotee should fear for certain things. Not that just because Krishna Das is Bindas, in the sense Krishna Das is carefree or fearless, doesn't mean that he is fearless of Vaishnava Aparad. No. He is very, very afraid of Vaishnava Aparad. Afraid of evil effects of Maya and associating with worldly minded people and last but not least demoniac qualities. So as our first reflection, I wanted to register that the symptoms that Mahaprabhu is speaking, referring to Kapila Deva's instruction to Devahuti, here is how a devotee is fearless. And if you dissect more into that context, you will know how a devotee is equally fearful. So the simultaneously fear and fearlessness needs to be reflected upon, and somehow or other, we need to work towards becoming fearless and also inculcate the quality of being fearful of these qualities. This will help us in shaping up our Krishna consciousness nicely to an extent that we will be in the forward path of Sharanagati. Otherwise, our forward path of Sharanagati becomes really challenge. The second reflection is about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description about a person or the nine symptoms of a person who is in the stage of bhava. I'm not sure if I have spoken about this in this forum. So this nine symptoms that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying are symptoms to be pondered upon, symptoms to recognize, symptoms to be inculcated, and symptoms to be watched out for. In our Vaishnava associations, somehow or other, due to the influence of the so-called materialistic lifestyle, we sometimes get carried away with those behaviors by which our observations are always external. In the sense, we rate devotees based on the dress or his address or his appearance or his eloquency in or proficiency in his speech or how perfect he does his work. But Krishna consciousness is not what you see or not just what you see. Krishna consciousness is also what we don't see. Krishna consciousness is about the subtlest aspect of our existence. What am I when I am alone? What am I when I am in my private quarters? What am I within myself? Define who am I. Vaishnava ke, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, what kind of devotee are you? Every Vaishnava Acharya has shown by their own example to self-introspect, self-question ourselves about our spiritual being. So hence the second reflection is going to help us throw some light on the symptoms of a person in the stage of bhava. This is nothing but, you can assume it as a summary of all those shlokas that you must have read in the last couple of classes, where Mahaprabhu is talking about Raganuga Bhakti. They are still part of sadhana, but it is said that Raganuga Ragatmika Bhakti, where we are in the stage of spontaneous devotional service. So if you look at the chart that Rupa Goswami says, it is sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is divided into Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. In Raganuga sadhana bhakti, it is explained that the end of Raganuga is the beginning of bhava, or end of bhava is the beginning of prema. So this overlap needs to be very significantly monitored. So why we are discussing about this in this current context? Because amongst us, there are a lot of devotees. And sometimes, they may be appearing like any other normal person, but they may carry Krishna within their heart and they are an eligible candidate to go back home, back together at the end of their life. So if we miss them, considering them as an ordinary human being out of our familiarity and out of our complacency or over closeness, so we may miss the rarest opportunity. And that may be your husband, or that may be your children, that may be your friend, that may be your leader in the community. We don't know. So hence, it is better to learn the symptoms. Whilst Mahaprabhu in this whole chapter has been talking about symptoms and appearances and qualifications and characteristics, so this adds to that list where we talk about 9 symptoms of bhava, because here Kapila Dev is talking to Devahuti about the deeper aspects of devotional service and who are unaffected by the evil effects of time and the nature. So those people who are in the stage of Raganuga and entering bhava, they possess these 9 symptoms. So let us yearn to develop these symptoms, and let us also be vigilant to recognize the symptoms in our near and dear ones. So number 1, tolerant and unperturbed even when distress come over that person. This is the first symptom of a person who are in the stage of bhava or pure devotional service. he or she is tolerant and unperturbed even when distress come over him. Second, averse to wasting time. This person is never waste a single moment of time. Prabhupada has already spoken about this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already spoken about this in verse number 156 and 157. He mentioned that within his mind, in his original purified self-realized position, he serves Krishna and Vrindavan in his particular way. He serves Krishna 24 hours a day, all day and night. That's the description Mahaprabhu has given. So as I said, this is just a summary of what all you must have studied. So hours to wasting time is a second characteristic. Third, utilize all the time in Krishna's service. Fourth, prideless. Fifth, complete conviction that he will attain Lord's lotus feet. Sixth, extremely eager and anxious to attain perfection. Seven, strong attachment for hearing and chanting. Eight, no interest in things, activities that has no connection or interest with Krishna. Nine, love for the holy Dham. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these are the nine symptoms of a person who are in the stage of bhava, or getting in the stage of bhava, or these are the qualities that we need to inculcate. These are the symptomatic behavior that need to manifest by our sincere practicing of Krishna consciousness. So these nine characteristic symptoms we get to see in lot of devotees amongst us, and they are the devotees to whom we are supposed to go and submit ourselves and allow them to tweak our ears and drag ourselves to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Rather than confessing, rather than giving ourselves in the hands of so-called materialistic leaders, giving ourselves, surrendering to the so-called materialistic bosses just because we are taken care in certain petty things. So rather than surrendering to them, we should learn to identify such personalities and surrender. So Krishna explains, Kapila Deva explains, Prabhupada, if you refer to the purport of 3.25.38, he says that to such a devotee, Krishna even comes and personally performs his duties towards that person. Prabhupada explained about how a deity came and performed a Shraddha ceremony for his devotee. We have heard about the Sakshi Gopal pastimes. How Krishna personally reciprocates to such a person, and how personally Krishna gives himself to that person. That is because of these. It is not that just we just by doing a business transaction with the Supreme Lord, we will be able to win over him. So the second reflection is about this nine symptoms of the person in the stage of bhava. Prabhupada explains that this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to elevate ourselves to the stages of Goswami. And when he explained about that particular point, he mentioned that a person can become Goswami so long as his attitude is in Krishna consciousness. So the yardstick of defining somebody a Goswami or a Godasa is about his attitude, not external things. So long as we are not working on our internal attitude, and all those 6, 7, 8 verses that Mahaprabhu spoke in this chapter just before this is completely subtle and has nothing to do in the gross sense. It is completely within that somebody cannot see by their gross eyes, but phalena parichiyate, The result of that is seen by Krishna's reciprocation. So Krishna reciprocates to such a person. In this case, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and we have Srila Prabhupada as an example, and so many people who apparently were born in Mlecha and Chandala and some lower community, just because they surrendered to self-realize the soul, they came to the level of self-realization within the lifespan, and we could see them. It is real, and it is nothing true, no fake story over there. Last reflection is about this particular process of Krishna consciousness that Mahaprabhu is kind of wrapping up, and consolidation has a very significant requirement within our movement. So the last point, last reflection, is to talk about some practical aspects of it in our everyday life for us to get to that stage of bhava, or get to the stage of what Mahaprabhu is referring to, Sanatana Goswami. Because Srila Prabhupada explains that if after all this endeavor, even if one person takes my instruction seriously, I would consider my mission successful. If after all this endeavor, even if one person practices, adheres to whatever I suggested, then I would consider my mission successful. So that means Srila Prabhupada has given enough warning that we have opportunities to slip, flip, wobble from the stage of Krishna consciousness, and hence we need to do something practically on a daily basis in our own spiritual practices, because somehow or other we become complacent to the process of chanting, we become familiar to the process of chanting, we get familiar towards deities, we get familiar towards prasadam, we get familiar towards Vaishnavas, we get familiar towards Srimad Bhagavatam, we get familiar towards holy dham. So we take them for granted. Oh, it is anyway available. Oh, it's anyway accessible. It's anyway, you know, I can achieve this. So we give utmost importance to those stuffs which are fragile, which are so material in nature, because of our extended association. So hence the last reflection of this particular shloka is about some practical application that I feel that we all should work on towards getting to the stage of bhava, getting to the stage of raga anuga. It is said that vaidhi sadhana bhakti means somebody will be after you. Raga anuga sadhana bhakti means you are after somebody. In vaidhi sadhana bhakti, somebody comes and wakes us up. Somebody comes and helps us to chant. Somebody comes us and offers us prasadam. Somebody comes and pushes us forward. Do this, do that, do this, do that. In Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, we are after somebody. Can you please engage me in your service? Can you please accept me as your disciple? Can you please, you know, so like that. We are after that person. And when we do keep doing it, then we come to a stage where Krishna is after us. Krishna is after such a person. And that stage is called the stage of success in devotional life. So the last reflection is about four points of solution that we generally recommend in our sanghas. We have spoken about this quite a lot, but again, in different contexts, in different perspectives, when those points are represented, we kind of get reiterated and reassured of what we are expected to do. So the last reflection is set of four points. Number one, we need to somehow or other work on our humility. The reason is because of our Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, because of our making some progress in Krishna consciousness, we definitely get some success in Krishna consciousness. We get definitely some reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. But that reciprocation is just a token of acknowledgement. If somebody gets complacent, somebody gets settled in, saying that yes, now I have achieved and I need not push it further, then there is a problem. So hence we need to work on our humility. And that working on humility refers to completely take us away from the way and let the spiritual master, spiritual process take over us. As we always say, in spite of us, we became devotees. Hence, the solution is, please don't come in your own way of your own devotional life. Hence, work on your humility. And there are very practical suggestions on working on humility is what we discussed one of the earlier sessions about the pastime of Gopala Chappal and Srivas Thakur. Gopala Chappal did not take offense of, I'm sorry, Srivas Thakur did not take an offense of Gopala Chappal, but Mahaprabhu took an offense, and eventually Gopala Chappal got leprosy to an extent that even Mahaprabhu did not help that person till Srivas Thakur forgave him. Srivas Thakur forgave and he directed him to Purushottam Das Thakur, who initiated Gopala Chappal as Devaki Nandan Das. So this Devaki Nandan Das, who once used to be Gopala Chappal, he composed a very nice prayer glorifying Vaishnavas, considering his position as somebody who is highly insignificant. The song I think we have sung, or quoted a couple of times in the past, which is what our general recommendation is: every day, every practicing devotee should at least sing this song in the mood, understanding the meaning of the song, which will help us. Like how Srila Prabhupada introduced this Guru Puja system. The purpose of Guru Puja is to bring in a perspective that I am answerable to my spiritual authority. Hence, let me every day give a report and also ask for forgiveness. This will help us to stay grounded. So this additional to that Guru Puja is this song, Vrindavana Vasi Jata Vaishnaveragan. This is a song by Devaki Nandan Das. So maybe we all can memorize and learn the meaning. If we go through the whole song and with the meaning, it is very nicely explained how Vaishnavas are our goal, Vaishnavas are our solace, Vaishnavas help us to make our progress in Krishna consciousness. So we can work on our humility not by our own endeavor. We cannot work on our humility by our own, technical philosophical knowledge. We can only work when we are with devotees. Because only when we are with devotees, we really get to know how our quotients come out. When I am alone, we cannot say that how cooperative I am. No, when I am alone, I am anyway alone. When multiple things come, when multiple people come, when multiple opinion come, that's when the challenges start. That's when the comparison start. That's when the argument start. That's when the conflict start. And that's when we should also learn how I should stay humble. So to work on our humility becomes an utmost important component for us to raise our bar from sadhana bhakti to, at least from Vaidhi sadhana bhakti to raganuga sadhana bhakti and eventually to bhava. The second is about cultivation of gratitude. So this cultivation of gratitude is something that we have spoken about quite a lot of times. This gratitude and humility are the two tracks of the rail where our spiritual train passes through. So this gratitude is definitely inculcated by we being ready to execute the services offered rather than service chosen. Because many a times we are wishing to do services that we wish to do, which is not bad. But one level up is we are ready to do service which are offered to us by our spiritual authorities, even though we don't wish to do them. We are trying to take ourselves out of the comfort zone so that we show our gratefulness for what we have bestowed with. And the third is about the principle of consciously repenting and yearning. So this is CRY. We cry. We cry, which means I am consciously repenting for what I have not done and I'm also yearning for what I'm intending to do. This Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavad has referred a very famous verse where he says, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dhana, Bhakti A, Krishna Nama, Smarana, Krandana. So Bhakti A, Krishna Nama, Smarana, Krandana means, he defines Bhakti Yoga means, Bhakti Yoga means, Bhakti Yoga means to constantly chant and remember about the holy name of the Lord, and as we do that, we shed tears and cry. So crying, as Gaur Govinda Maharaj always say, we need to start a school for learning to cry to Krishna. So hence the third recommendation for us to inculcate the qualities of fearlessness, inculcate the quality of being fearful for certain things, and eventually elevate ourselves to the stage of bhava, so that whatever is spoken about by Kapiladev to Devahuti is manifesting in our own life. So third solution is about cry, which means I consciously repent for what I have not done, for what I am not able to do, for what I am breaking, and yearning for what I am intending to do. And last but not least, the fourth principle is about submitting. As I mentioned in one of the earlier classes, the acronym SUBMIT, which means I surrender unconditionally body, mind and intelligence in totality. So basically, as Jananda Maharaj once mentioned, that we have this BMW car, which is a vehicle, body, mind and words, body, mind and intelligence. So we need to utilize them. That's what this Tridanda in the sannyas stick means. I surrender my body, I surrender my mind, I surrender my intelligence and words. Kayena vacha manasvendriyeva udhyatmanavat prakriti svabhavat karomi adyat sakalam barasmai narayana iti samarpayami. Which means I surrender unconditionally, without any strings attached, without any preconditions, whether Krishna helps or not helps, whether Krishna comes in front of us or does not come in front of us. Aslishyava padaratam pinastumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva yata tata va vidatatu lampato matprana natastu eva naparaha. With that frame of mind, we try to surrender to Krishna, where whether Krishna is helping, not helping, coming, not coming, showing, not showing, we are always considering Krishna as our worshipable Lord. So hence, we need to learn to submit, which in my little explanation is, we surrender unconditionally our body, mind and intelligence in totality, not just partially, not just limitedly, not just, you know, with some conditions attached. It's completely surrender. That is why we raise both our arms up and all we say is, Samsara kupe patito tyagade mohandapurne vishayabitapte karavalambam mama dehi Vishnu Govinda damodara madaveti. So we raise our arms up and say that this material world is full of, you know, filled with a dark well. And it's like a dark well, it's like a quicksand which drowns me in. And I'm stuck into that and I don't have any ways to help myself to come out. All I can do is just stick my hand out and scream, Govinda, Damodara, Madhava, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And just in that frame of mind, we scream and surrender. And when we do that, we have some hope. So that at least the child that screams a lot gets the attention of the mother. The chicken that screams a lot gets the attention of hen. Similarly, we devotees who scream and establishes our despondency, establishes our urgency, then we will definitely get attention of the Supreme Lord, who, to help us, will send some devotees in our life and eventually pick us up from this rotten lifestyle. So the fourth solution or the recommendation is about how do we submit ourselves. So to summarize our discussion today, we just started discussing about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining about the different aspects of devotion service, and now we are coming to the fag end of this devotion service journey, and Mahaprabhu has very detailedly, very categorically explained various aspects of devotional service with respect to symptoms, qualifications, characteristics, categorization, cons, pros, for, against, in very detailed manner in the last 160 verses. So many things Mahaprabhu has revealed to Sanatana Goswami, which forms the basis. You see the previous Rupa Siksha part and also the Sanatana Siksha part. For both of them, Mahaprabhu gave a significant piece of information. But the way Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami have taken that further is unfair. It's been spoken in this 162 verses. Sanatana Goswami is going to take it up and going to expand it.
Hare Krishna.
What happened?
I think he got disconnected because I heard a little bit of a.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he got disconnected.
I thought it was me.
Nobody said anything. So.
Yeah, I still see him in line, so I don't know what happened.
Maybe he can hear us. We can't hear him. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's now gone.
Yeah. Yeah, connect him again.
He's not even reachable, so not sure if his connection is weak now. Yeah, I think he'll join now.
Hare Krishna, am I audible again?
Yes,
Prabhu. Yeah. So I don't know what point in time I was lost. It was just a few minutes before.
You were just telling how Doug's Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had taken it deeper, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given us.
Oh, okay.
You're just finishing that.
I was just summarizing. Thank you, Mataji. I was just summarizing class where how Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, whatever Mahaprabhu has given us, they have taken it up into a huge voluminous work, and it's one lifetime is not sufficient enough for us to go over this wonderful compilations of these great personalities. So what Mahaprabhu has given to them is now revealed and opened up by them in various literature. So we discussed about three different sets of reflection. One is about fearfulness and fearlessness of a devotee, and where we discussed how a devotee is fearless for his name, fame, prestige, image, and how he is fearless for demands from the society, and how he is fearless for being an odd man out, and how he is fearless for talking about and serving about the Supreme Lord without, you know, being a fanatic. And at the same time, we also discussed that a devotee who is in a stage of serious Krishna consciousness do fear for Vaishnava Aparat, evil effects of Maya, association of worldly minded people, and demoniac qualities. And a second reflection that we discussed was about the 9 symptoms of a person in the stage of Bhava, where we discussed that a person who is in the spontaneous loving service of the Supreme Lord is tolerant and unperturbed even when distress come over him, averse to wasting time, utilizing all the time in Krishna's service, pridelessness, complete conviction that he will attain Lord's lotus feet, extremely eager and anxious to attain perfection, strong attachment for hearing and chanting, no interest in things and activities that has no connection, interest in Krishna, and love for Dham. So these 9 symptoms are enunciated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the person in the stage of Bhava. And as a last part of our discussion, I was talking about how we also need to somewhere or other reflect upon our own lifestyle, our own priorities, and try to yearn, try to strive to come to the stage of what Kapila Deva is explaining over here, to the natural devotional service. Otherwise, we will, you know, fall prey, fall trapped to the evil effects of Maya. So, 4 reflections that I brought in here as a part of our consideration to work upon ourselves. Number 1 is to how to work on our humility, and how to cultivate gratitude, and how to learn to cry, which is how to consciously repenting and yearning, and also how to submit, which is surrendering unconditionally our body, mind, and intelligence in total to the spiritual process. And through this 4, I was talking about our spiritual practices to be fine-tuned so that in this very life, we are able to make some progress, and it is definitely experienceable and is not some far-fetched dream, because the process that is given is so sublime than the endeavor that we proclaim ourselves that we have taken up. So we encourage all the devotees to make this as our mission. As we always say, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, being our mission, should be in our nerves, and may we all help each other to get to that stage. Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions or comments we can discuss?
I just have a request, Prabhu. Can you sing a little bit of the song by Devaki Nandan Prabhu that you were speaking about?
Yeah, sure. So the song is called... this is a very very famous song amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas, though in ISKCON we have, we hardly have sung this. This actually, I've learned it from Madhavananda Prabhu in one of his lecture series he has given on culture of respect, probably, in that he taught this song where it is important to pray to Vaishnavas. The song's name is Vrindavana Vasi Jata Vaishnavera Gana. So this Devakirandan Das Thakur is nobody other than Gopala Chapal. So the song goes like this. Vrindavana vasijata vaishnavera gan pratame vandana kari sabara sharan neelachala vasijata mahaprabhur gan Bhumite podiya mandon sabaracharan Navadipa vasijata mahaprabhur bhakta sabaracharana vandon hayanurakta mahaprabhur bhakta jata gauda deshe sthiti sabaracharana vandon karya pranati je deshe boise Gauranga Ragan Urdhva Bahu Kari Vandon Sabara Charan Hoyachene Hoybene Praburjata Das Sabara Charana Vandon Dante Kari Ghas Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane Eveda Purane Gunagai Jeva Sune Mahaprabhurgana Sabhapatita Pavan Tailo Bemui Papi Doinu Sharan Vandana Karite Mui Kata Shakti Dhari Tamo Buddhi Doshe Mui Dhamma Matra Kari Tatapi Mukera Bhagya Manera Ullas Dosakshami Mohadami Karani Jadhas Sarva vancha siddhihaya yama bandha chute Jagate durlabhahoy prema dana lute Manera vasana purna acharate hai Devaki nandana das kei lobe kai. That's the song. So the translation you all can read yourself. I think somebody had posted in the group already. So, I mean, this is something that we encourage our devotees to regularly sing as a part of their everyday prayer. To in Vaishnava tradition, in typical Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, is called putting a straw between the teeth. So it is something like I take the most humblest position without giving any profile to myself and self-identity. I try to surrender. So by singing this song, knowing the meaning, we slowly develop that mood. So that's the reason I said this song is a very practical way to develop, to work on our humility. Hope it makes some sense.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you very much.
Prabhuji,
go ahead, Mataji.
Yeah. Prabhuji, can you also tell about your Vanara Sena team so that, you know, there are many callers today, so they will be benefited?
I'm sorry?
Can you also tell about, you know, the Vanara Sena that you train?
Yes. Okay. Well, in Mumbai, I have I've been living here since 1999. And, of course, by Krishna's mercy and Vaishnava's mercy, been practicing Krishna consciousness since 1989, September. So I have been trained and brought up and been cared by really loved devotees. Some of their contribution in our life is still an impression for us. It is a very strong influence in our lives. So I took up my Krishna consciousness when I was in my school days, when I was in grade 7. So since then, devotees are very loving and caring, and the way we were brought up in Srirangam, in fact, Sarojanandini's father and a few other devotees, they used to be our mentors. They all had helped us in taking up Krishna consciousness seriously. And the way they cultivated is not just, you know, just preach and give philosophy. They really cared and personally took care of us in our lifestyle. They were worried about our personality, dressing, talking, job, behavior, mannerism, so many things. It was not just about, you know, philosophy. So when I came to Bombay, you know, I was kind of thrown into a no man's land. I didn't have any relatives, friends, nobody. We just came here for a job in 1999 after my engineering. I mean, of course, for the first few months, you know, it was pretty tough because I hailed from Srirangam, where, I mean, everybody who goes from Bombay to Srirangam comes back to me and says that you're an idiot living in Bombay, leaving Srirangam aside. But then first few months we had very tough stay in Bombay, but then somewhere some devotees, further influence and support in Bombay, helped us to take up what we learned in our young days. So we started working on doing some preaching programs over here, and one of those is about cultivating the children. So I'm very happy when I'm seeing in the group a lot of kids are being trained. So from the last 10 years, I've been working on some group of children, and we formed something called as Gita Club. So as a part of this Gita Club, we have not only focused on kids' spiritual and spiritual skills, we also work on their personalities, personal life, studies, emotions, and we try to become their kind of friend. What they can't directly open up to their own parents, they feel comfortable and they feel understood, accepted. And we have a lot of, you know, internal policies and protocols where if somebody is honest, if they come and transparently confess to you, they're, you know, they need not be punished even if they have done some really abominable things. So that gives them a very bold step to confess and open up to ourselves. So as a part of that, the last 10 years, some children, they grew up to a stage of being an adult now. So when they become an adult, you have to treat them slightly differently. You have to, you know, cultivate them differently. So we made those Gita Club kids to a Vanara Sena. So before we give the name, I was thinking, you know, because as soon as the children become youth, one of the important challenges they get is this identity. One thing that I have always noticed is that if you don't give them a unique identity to these children or recognize them, they will definitely not stay with us because the outside world is ready to give them some identity, either in the form of dress or behavior or talks or walks or friends or, you know, whatever they may be specialized to. They force themselves in that zone and try to get some attention. So we kind of, with the help of, you know, other fellow
I think Prabhu got dropped off again.
Oh, my God.
That noise comes right before he gets dropped off.
Okay, let's wait for another minute. He's back.
Yeah, so I was saying that how in Vanara Sena we try to engage them in activities where we not only teach them lessons or Krishna consciousness. In all our sessions that I conduct, I don't keep the sessions, monotonous or predictive, because children, the youths have a very short attention span. Or if they could predict today's session is about spirit soul, they will already anticipate that I know the subject matter, so I need something new. So we keep working on finer aspects of Siddhanta towards applying them in our lives and towards shaping up one's behavior. And hence, this Vanara Sena group has been formed. And each member in Vanara Sena is assigned a project. So either group of people is put together in a project or individually they worked on a project. So they are always busy round the clock. In throughout the year, there are projects, events, and we make them responsible. And we allow them to make mistakes. I mean, if they want to make mistakes in executing the project, that's fine, so long as they are consciously involved in that. And this ecosystem has helped, and so many people have appreciated because they couldn't handle their own children at their own houses whilst we could keep these boys and girls engaged. So as a result of it, few of the projects that we have undertaken. We have published a musical album by name Karuna Avatar, where we have done around close to 32 songs of Gaur Nithai. We are doing village preaching program. We are making them organize Ratyatras. We are making them organize Chapa retreats. We are making them organize things. We are publishing books. We are building some apps. We are trying to do some specialized projects. So utilizing their skills in such a way that they get an identity. So within our group, they themselves know, oh, this guy is good in singing. Oh, this guy is good in organizing event. This guy is good in technology. This guy is good in public speaking. So they themselves build their own special identity, and they are not distracted. And most more so is that they find friends within themselves, and they need to search for friends outside of devotee circle. So somehow by Krishna's mercy and the mercy of Vaishnavas, this has been a very effective, and I'm definitely desiring to help these youths to get their ground established so that they become the future leaders of our movement. That's a small snapshot of our Vanara Sena service.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhu. This was very, very helpful. And if you have, I know you had once shared your album, but if there are any other leads you would like to share on the group, like any links or something that you think will inspire.
I'll share after the session, I'll share in the group the musical album that we made. It's a song, 32 songs of Gaur Nithai, only Gaur Nithai, which is composed by Bhaktivinod Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur. So the intent is to help devotees learn Vaishnava Acharya songs. And now we are working on the second album by name Radheshyam, which is fully about all the songs of Radha and Krishna. And we are also working on a mobile app as well as a book called Stuti Sadhanam. The Stuti Sadhanam is a project which we are working. Hopefully, Krishna willing, we are going to publish that on 31st of March in our Ratyatra in Navi Mumbai, where it is about prayers, stuti, simple prayers, simple, easily rememberable prayers that can be chanted. When you stand in front of Krishna Balaram, what prayer to chant? If you stand in front of Hanuman, what prayer to chant? If you stand in front of Jagannath Balasubhadra, what prayer to chant? If you stand in front of Sitaram Lakshmanji, what prayer to chant? So some people know, but mostly, we think Krishna consciousness movement means we are not supposed to learn any prayers. But Prabhupada gave a very strong directive in Gajendra Moksha, one of the purports, that how Indra Dyumna used to regularly chant prayers, and he encourages us to remember prayers. So we are publishing a small app. So maybe after 31st March, we can share that with you all. You all can, share with your students. They can learn some prayers so that they can relate. Whenever they stand in front of a deity, they can relate and make some prayers, knowing the meaning, establish a personal connect. That's the way we all were, brought up. So nowadays, darshan of the deity has become so mechanical. So by these prayers, that can become, a little personal. So I'll definitely share the link.
Jai, thank you so much, Prabhu. And the class was so, actually very, very nice, especially since it was about Radhanuga Bhakti, the way you handled the class, all the points that you said, everything was very, very wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. All the Shri-Rupa. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam. Prabhuji, which album you were talking about? It is already released by Banana Group.
We have done a musical album called Karuna Avatar. It's an audio album.
It is in YouTube, Prabhu? No.
No, it is. You can download in music store. In Google Play, you can download in Spotify, you can download in Apple Music Store. It's in four parts. You can get to see all the parts, what all songs that we have sung. So it's there for you.
Oh, okay, it is in its name is Karuna Avatar, na Prabhu?
Karuna Avatar by Vanara Sena.
Okay. Maybe we can get from the iPhone also this download.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pradham to your Seva, Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Prabhuji, your Vanar Sena activity will help all Srila Prabhupada, like in Atlanta, Chicago, Shuvani or Savannah, wherever we can help small kids, children program, it's help us. So is it possible to share all the activities every once in a week in our Japa group? And yes, album also by step by step, Hari Bol Dandavat Pranam, it's request from heart.
I will definitely, I have no copyright to that. I'm happy to share whatever, you know, Krishna has given us. So I'll definitely, you know, coordinate with Preeti Vilasini Mataji and definitely share. And I'm coming to U.S. In the first week of April. I'm thinking of, I'll be in Houston for some time. And maybe thinking of traveling to a few places. I'll coordinate with the, you know, devotees and maybe share some thoughts.
Gopinath ki jai ho, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Especially when you sing that bhajana, it stretched to heart. Please give your association regularly, Prabhuji, and your all realization. We have to hear second time, then it's clear, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam to your Deva.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Any other thoughts and comments? Okay, Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Vancha Kalpa Karo Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Paganipe Vaishnava. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu ki jai. Thank you, H.T. Ramgiri Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much.